Amen. Please turn with me now to the book of John, the Apostle St. John, chapter 14. St. John, chapter 14. Verses 12 through 17. John, chapter 14, 12 through 17. When you're there, say amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we turn now into your word, we ask that you would anoint our ears and our hearts and our minds. Grant, God, that we will just absorb all that you have here for us. We ask that we will just remember your words, Lord, this week, and that as we go through the week, Lord, we will know that we are your children because your word spoke to our hearts. Now give us understanding, Lord, and grant that we may just understand your word and be able to apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to speak to you for the next 2 hours on the topic, life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. Amen. 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 We just read here in John chapter 14, Jesus made a farewell speech to his disciples. And he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But he says, I am not leaving you comfortless. I am leaving you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he shall teach you all things, Jesus says. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very works that you have seen me do, the works that I have done, the touching of the hem of my garment and the woman being healed of the issue of blood, the blind man upon whose eyes I put mud and he saw again. Believe me because you heard when I called Lazarus from the dead. Believe me because you will see that I rolled the stone away from my grave and I got up out of it and walked out of death. Believe me for my work's sake. But he says, believe on me that the works that I do, you will be able to do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, he says, I will do it. And he says this, because I give you the Comforter. He shall give you another Comforter. I was here, I comforted you. I embraced you. I held you in my arms and I held you in my heart as brothers. Jesus says in John chapter 17 to God, I have kept those you have given unto me. And here he speaks to the disciples and he says, he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. on the day of Pentecost. Last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. And as we celebrated Mother's Day, we celebrated Pentecost Sunday also. But we do not forget what this means to us, because Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit, and he gave the Holy Spirit unto us. And he says, another comforter will I give to you, that he may abide with you forever. And the Greek word there for comforter is paraclete. It is the distinctive title given to the divine Spirit of God as he is present here on earth throughout this very present age. People do not acknowledge him. The same word is translated in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 as the advocate. It means it is both helper, monitor, and one who is called to aid us in our time of need. It is in Christ that he's glorified. We have that paraclete appearing before God for us even now. And he is the indwelling Spirit. He is that other comforter who is in us. How do we have life in the Spirit? Life comes through birth. Life comes through birth. And in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus was having a discourse with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He did not say he may not enter. He did not say he might not enter. He says he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So one must experience a new birth. To be part of God's kingdom, one must be born of water and of the Spirit. There are three interpretations about this being born of water. One is it refers to the washing of the water of the Word of God, as is stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It refers to baptism, or it refers to the physical birth, because as a baby, we're in a sack of water. And so all three of them, they have been discussed. All these three meanings have been discussed. And some believe that the latter, being the physical birth, is what Jesus was referring to in John chapter 3. But we can think of it this morning as the washing away of our sins. Or we can think of being born carnal or in the flesh, because we were in that sack of water in the womb. So we look at it this morning. Jesus is saying, though, that even whatever you interpret this being born of water to be, he's saying there's a birth that is necessary, and it's to be reborn in the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, the God Spirit, the God who breathed his Spirit in us so that we might be like him and in his image. In John chapter 4, Jesus had another discourse with a woman by Jacob's well. And he started a conversation with her. He says, may I have a drink of water? She had not yet drawn the water. But he asked the drink of her, and she says, I cannot give you anything to drink, because I have nothing with which to draw. But Jesus said unto her, if you had asked of me, I would have given you water that would be springing up into you into everlasting life. Springing up in the Spirit, worship toward God. Springing up in the Spirit, in our first birth, we are born of the flesh and born of water. But in our second birth, we are born from above. Born of the Spirit. Our first birth leads to death, but our second birth brings eternal life. The new birth is a new beginning that results in a newness of life. John chapter 4 verse 14, Jesus says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." We as Christians must spend our lives in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit. And if there is ever a time that we need to be walking in the Spirit and talking in the Spirit, it's now. If you were listening to the news this week, you will hear that Ellen DeGeneres is engaged to be married. She's engaged to be married to a woman. And they were applauding this on her show because in California, it is becoming law that men can marry men and women can marry women. Right now, it is on the desk of your governor in New York for his signature so that they can have same-sex marriage. And I woke up the other night and it struck me to the very soul. As I woke up and I think that the preaching of the gospel is in danger. It's in danger. You might hear them carry down Jeremiah Wright. But there are instances in which Jeremiah Wright was right. Because God will have to judge this nation. Because if we tolerate such sin, and if we fail to speak out against evil in the land, then we too will suffer. The Bible says not only those who are indulged in the sinfulness, but those who condone it are just as guilty. So this morning, saints, we have to walk in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit. We must speak to the things around us in the Spirit. We must speak to our situations in the Spirit, because it is in us, the Holy Spirit, He indwells us, and He is springing up as a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Don't be too alarmed about what is happening, because what is happening to us today, it's only telling us one thing: Jesus Christ is coming back. May 4th was Ascension Sunday. On that Sunday, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, Jesus Christ. He ascended into heaven. And the angel stood by and he said, "The same Jesus that is now taken from you shall come back in like manner as you see him go." And so we anticipate his return, because the Bible is true. Men's love shall become wax cold, and people shall lean to their own understanding, and the world will be in chaos. We are seeing it today. "Whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." If you've never experienced the gift of the Holy Spirit, then today I challenge you, ask God. Tell God in your prayer, "Lord, give me this experience." He says, if you can ask of your earthly father bread and he does not give you stone, if you ask of your earthly father fish, he will not give you a serpent, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask of him? We are to ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We are to walk and to live in the Spirit. Why? Because we have life through the Spirit. It is only from the Spirit that we have life. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to give glory to Christ and glorify him in all things, according to John chapter 16. That's the work of the Spirit in our lives. The outflowing of the Spirit from us is the testimony toward man. John chapter 7 verse 38 says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That's our testimony to man. Our first is to worship God. Our testimony is to man. We are to testify of the goodness and the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are to manifest this wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit. We are to manifest, our lives should manifest that daily walk in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are tempted to sin, but sin cannot conquer us because we are walking in the Holy Spirit. Our convictions tell us that we cannot sin against our God. When Joseph was held by Potiphar's wife, he ran from that room, leaving his clothes behind. He says, "I cannot do this and sin against my God." That's what the Holy Spirit tells us when we are tempted. We cannot do this and sin against our God. That's our conviction. That's the conviction that is in us. Why? Because Jesus says the Spirit is a witness of himself. He, the Christ. He is promised to us by the Son on earth. In John chapter 15 verse 26 he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Yes, the Holy Spirit who comes and speaks to us tells us that he is of Jesus Christ. And that's why when we speak the word of God, we speak as agents of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit tells us what Christ wants us to say. The Holy Spirit is sent by the Lord from heaven. In Acts chapter 2 verse 33, it says, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Peter is saying that what you are seeing and hearing is not us. We are speaking that which God has given us through the Holy Spirit. This word that we have comes through the Holy Spirit. On that Pentecost Sunday, Peter and the disciples stood up, and as they preached, the crowd said that they were drunk. These men are drunk. They are out of their minds. They had too much wine last night. Peter says, "Man, it's just 9 o'clock in the morning. We are not drunk. The bars are not even open yet. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are drunk, but not with wine. We are intoxicated, but not with grape juice. We are filled with the Holy Spirit." You cannot understand it, because Jesus says it's like the wind. It bloweth and we don't know where it came from. You cannot understand it. Not even the best satellite that we have that forecast the weather can tell the secrets or the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them as a mighty rushing wind. This morning, he may come upon your life quietly. It may be in that quiet morning devotion that someone hears you begin to talk in tongues. And they cannot understand, but they can only begin to try to realize that this is not your work. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. God wants us as a church to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Holy Spirit, to walk in the newness of life that comes only through the Holy Spirit. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit, Jesus says in John chapter 3. That which is flesh is flesh. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. All this chapter from verse 6 to 16 tells of the difference between the carnal mind and the mind and the life that is in the Holy Spirit. He says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. How is your walk this morning? How is your life this morning? Are you being led by the Spirit? Is there a well springing up in you unto everlasting life? Is it that song that you sing in the morning, the psalms and the songs and the hymns and the spiritual songs? They are worship unto God. Why do you love those old hymns so much? It's because the Holy Spirit is bringing you heavenly upward. He's calling you into worship. When we come here on a Sunday, we come to worship. We come to worship God. We come to lift him up, not ourselves. We come to glorify Christ because we are taught by the Holy Spirit to glorify him. This morning, the Spirit witnesses to the finished work of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 15 says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, the Holy Spirit is a witness of Christ unto us. Can you feel his power? Can you feel him this morning as he witnesses to us in our consciences, in our hearts, that God is with us. That God is with us no matter what our circumstances are. That God will carry us through even unto the end. It's the Holy Spirit who takes our prayers to God, who corrects them. Because the Bible says that we don't even know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit takes our prayers and corrects them and bring them to God. He is our witness. He is the witness to us. For after that, he had said before that the Holy Spirit will come. Jesus speaks to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnesses to the glorified person of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4 verse 32 it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. When the Holy Spirit testifies of the glorified person of Jesus Christ among us, then it's just Jesus. It's the glorified Jesus. It's not you and me. It is Jesus who is glorified among us. Therefore, we become one in Christ Jesus. And if one is in need, then all of us feel the hurt and the pain, and we reach out to each other because Jesus is glorified in us. When Jesus is glorified in us, we have nothing for ourselves, but everything that we own belongs to Him. And so we have all things common because we glorify Jesus even with our possessions. This morning, we do not glorify man. We do not glorify things. We do not glorify stuff. We glorify Christ. Let Him be glorified and Him only. This song that we sing this morning, we sang so many wonderful songs. I will bless Thee, O Lord. Under His wings, I am constantly, I am there abiding. And we know this morning that when we rest in the Holy Spirit, when our lives are in the Holy Spirit, we are alive unto Jesus Christ. This morning, it's now afternoon. That was just the introduction to the sermon. God is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced Him? Paul went into one town and he asked them, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And the people said, we have not as heard of Him. And He reached out to them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Today, you can ask of God for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let this be in you. Let the Holy Spirit dwell in you. He who comes from the Father. He who witnesses to the real Christ. He who is the Spirit at work and should be at work in our church. He who is imparted by the regeneration of our lives. He who comes into us when we are born again. He who is the one who is springing up into everlasting life in us, who brings us in worship before God. He who flows out of us through our testimony to the saints and to the unsaved and to those around us as we tell them that God is real. It is the Holy Spirit that will bring conviction upon their lives. Don't wonder about those who seem not to be convicted of their own sin. You see, one of the problems we have is unrepentant people. Unrepentant people cannot enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't marvel about it because they are unrepentant. We can't cause them to repent. All we can do is testify of the goodness and the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they will turn from their wicked ways when God has, through the Holy Spirit, convicted them of sin. When things bother you, when you do something wrong and you don't feel comfortable about it, it's not that you are good. It's because the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that wrong. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying to you, you should not have done that. You are to say you are sorry. You are to walk and live in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not in carnality. And as you go through this week, as that life that comes from the Holy Spirit shines and is manifested through you, others will be drawn unto the Lord. You have life this morning in the Spirit. No man gave this life to you. This life is not of blood, but it's of Jesus Christ through the conviction of God through the Holy Spirit. So who you are is different from who you used to be because you are born of the Spirit. This new life comes through the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a wonderful change when we are born again because we put away the old things and all things become new. We knew we're new because we walk and we live in the Spirit. This week, I challenge you and I charge you in the name of Jesus, live in the Spirit, and the world will see and change. God bless you.